What's the title of the message we've been on?
The Word Works.
The Word Works. Works, works, it works. The Bible talks about the natural man, you know. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. How many of you have lately developed a very strong appetite for the Word of God? Right? You listen to messages, you study the Word, right? Very important. Okay. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. It says, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. You see, sometimes we have to resist the urge to make sense. We have to resist the urge to be politically correct. If it makes sense, it will not make faith. If it makes faith, it will not make sense. The Bible talks about the natural man. The natural man, who's a natural man? The natural man is the man who's not saved. He's not born again. The Bible says that that natural man cannot receive the things of the Spirit of God. The transmission does not get there. See, the Holy, that person, when we start discussing a spiritual thing, the person cannot be involved because he's a natural man. See, the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God. The natural man does not understand why it would take 4 hours to pray. You see, he doesn't even understand why there should be prayer, because to him, he works hard and he gets his money. You know, so he's a natural man. You know, what if you try to explain spiritual things to a natural man? He won't get it. So you can end up in an argument for hours, the natural man will not get it. So he says, for the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. Because the things of the Spirit of God require discernment, require spiritual discernment. So if you're going to understand something that is spiritual, you have to look at it with the lens of the Spirit. So that's the natural man. Then the next verse talks about another man. He says, but he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet himself is judge of no man. Now that's talking about the spiritual man. So you can see the natural man, and you can see the spiritual man. The natural man is not born again. The spiritual man is born again, and not just born again, the spiritual man has also imbibed in his mind the Word of God. You see, he's at a level. He has caught in his mind the Word of God. He said, but he that is spiritual, the word judged means he makes choices of all things. He is able to know and say, all right, I should do this, I should not do this. Because he that is spiritual man, he look at situations and judge them and decide on them. So he said, but he that is spiritual judged all things, yet himself is judge of no man. Then to understand this better, you go to verse 16. He says, for who hath known the mind of the Lord? What is he saying? The spiritual man knows the mind of the Lord. Because if you want to read it in context, now this scripture is not saying that we cannot know the mind of the Lord. No, he's saying, first of all, he said the natural man cannot receive. The spiritual man judges. Why? He said, for who can know the mind of the Lord? That he may instruct him. He said, but we have the mind of Christ. So, as a spiritual person, when someone is a spiritual man, his decisions, his choices will be that which the Lord will make. When he becomes a spiritual man, he's not even, like some Christians, at every point they ask themselves, what does God want me to do? Does he want me to go left? Does he want me to go right? You know, that's baby Christianity. See, if he's going to become a spiritual man, he's not going to be fidgety. So he finds himself walking the walk. He finds himself walking the walk. As he's acting, he's making the right choices because he knows the word of God. Because he has the mind of Christ. Because we have the mind of Christ. Yeah. So that's the natural man, the spiritual man. And on Sunday, I talked to you about the carnal man. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Are you seeing? Now remember, the Bible was not written in chapters and verses. So this, it flows. All right? And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual. He says it flows. It's the same thought process. He said, I, brethren, if anything, while they were dividing into chapters and verses, this should have joined chapter 2 because it starts with end. End does not start a statement, but that's fine. They've already divided it. Let's use it. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual. You see, because he's looking at the Corinthian church. He says, I could not speak to you as unto spiritual, because there's a way you talk to spiritual people. Like, for example, when we are spiritual people, maybe in an area of thought, like concerning giving, if spiritual people were talking concerning giving, they would just find themselves talking and no restraint. They might even say some very, gargantuan things. Like, they would say some very deep and tough things. Like, I have nothing. Everything of mine is on the altar. You know, if a natural man was standing around, like, what was this one saying? You know, like, I think recently I was with someone, and the person was saying, he has a friend who always, whenever they are in conversation, the person is like, what he wants to do, pa, is to bypass that massive car that he's sitting. You know, that's a spiritual conversation. If a natural man was there, you have money, you want to bypass their car. Why don't you buy yourself the car? Do you understand? It's a spiritual conversation. It takes being a spiritual man to understand. If another spiritual man is standing there, and the person said that, this other person will say, myself. Make we pray about them or something. You know, that at that point in time, everybody there understands. So a spiritual man, when he probably was with other friends and said, our pastor's birthday is coming, and they all be like, this pastor's birthday, we have to do this, we have to pray for him. You know, it's a natural man standing here, like, what's wrong with you people? You are worshiping him. You see, that's a natural man, because he doesn't understand. Whereas the spiritual man is making his judgment and decision from when Jesus said, he said, anyone who gives water to my disciples will not lose his reward. He said, and anyone who gives to a prophet will have a prophet's reward. So there is an understanding, that Jesus Christ gave his disciples. He says, when they enter into a place, they should bring their peace upon the place. That means, he said, if the Son of Peace be there, they should bring their peace upon the place. Now, that means when a child of God or your man of God ever comes to you, visits you, calls you, he can bring his peace upon you. It will take a spiritually minded person to understand that. See? It will take a spiritually minded person to understand that and walk like that. To understand the one that is a walk like that. So it's an understanding. You know, there are some people, their pastor calls them, and they can't believe it, they go on their knees. And they take the call on their knees. I've done it. You know, if a natural man were to stand there, he'd look at it and disdain it, like, what is it? Is he not a human being like you? You see, that conversation is not for a natural man. Spiritual people who are talking together will understand the conversation. So he says, I could not speak to you as unto spiritual. Paul could not talk to them as unto spiritual. He said, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. So he talked to them as babies. That means sometimes you don't really find a distinction between the natural man and the carnal man, even though the carnal man is born again. Now, the natural man is not born again. The carnal man is born again, but just a baby. Now, you might not find a distinction between them. Why? Because the natural man does not get spiritual things. The carnal man also does not get spiritual things, even though he is born again. He also cannot receive. So Paul said, I could not speak to you. We could not have a spiritual conversation. It's even as unto babes in Christ. So the moment you become born again, you can function as an unbeliever until you start growing. That's why it's so key to grow. You can function as an unbeliever until you start growing. You have to make it a point to be invested in your growth. See, to be invested in your growth. And if you want to understand it very well, you have to sometimes look at the natural indexes for growth and apply the same thing spiritually. Now, there's a parallel. A man of God of blessed memory said something. He said, all truth are parallel. There's a parallel between the natural and the physical. The natural and the spiritual. A lot of the time, most of the time, when there have been discoveries in the natural, something similar was also discovered spiritually. For example, during the time the healing revival broke in America, it was the same time that medicine also made a lot of massive medical discoveries. It was around that time that the cure for malaria came. Because before, malaria was like HIV. Once a person gets malaria, they start thinking of how it is going to be buried. Yes. Now today, you can get it for fun. You know, and take drugs. I mean, just say, oh, which one? Should I take this or this? Once you start getting the fever, like, this thing looks like malaria, just go and start taking, just cool. You know, but before it was a major thing. But around the time the healing revival broke in America, where, you know, there was a lot of healing crusades and healing evangelists, it was around the same time that these medical breakthroughs also came. Same thing with the parallel of when atomic bomb was made. When atomic bomb was made, that same time, the church discovered, there was a book that a great man of God wrote on the atomic power of fasting and prayer. The church also came into the knowledge of that. So you see this natural and spiritual parallel. That anytime there was something discovered spiritually, it was also discovered naturally. Okay, so let's look at it. He said, I could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. Because a carnal man is a baby. You see, in your life, if you are spiritual, the conversation I'm having will make sense to you. For example, I said on Sunday, I said, if you're supposed to be protecting anything, you'll be protecting your heart. That is a spiritual statement. Because naturally, why should I protect my heart? I should protect my account. You see, there are many things that I'll look at naturally and say, no, I should protect this, I should protect that. But the Bible says that I should rather protect my heart. Let's go to Luke 21. Luke 21, verse 34. Jesus is speaking, and take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and cares of this life, and so that day come upon you unawares. You know, when you look at it naturally, you say, oh, Christ is going to come, and let's protect ourselves. You know, let's look at what we are doing. No, Jesus now spoke to them, said, no, it is not about checking the things you are doing. He said, check your heart. You see, the heart, the reason why a lot of emphasis is put on the heart is the human heart. Now, when I say talk, when we talk about human heart, I'm not talking about this one that's beating. This one that's beating is a like a natural organ. It's also parallel to the spiritual heart. When this one goes out, everything is gone. So, the heart of man, or the spirit of man, is delicate and it is precious in a sense that, now this is what makes man the center of all spiritual activity. In a sense that, now, man is being heckled, in a sense. God wants him, the devil wants him. When you see the devil or demons in an animal, that's not where they want to stay. Remember the story of the madman of Gadara? When the demons left and went to their pigs, they were still not pleased. Their pigs ran into the water, into the sea, and killed themselves. The demons, even though sometimes they can stay in animals, that's something you should know. Demons can stay in animals. Sometimes when your dog is misbehaving, look into his eyes very well. Yeah. You know, when you are spiritually, you know, I'm not talking about you are frantic, like looking for devil in everything. No. When you are spiritually discerned, when you pray, the Holy Ghost can give you insights and know this. You cast out devils. I've done it before. I cast out devils from the dog became calm. Yeah. So demons can stay in animals, but they don't want to stay there. Just know that the reason they are there is that they are looking for a man to move into. You see, they are looking for a man to move into. So the heart of man, it's because the heart of man, the preciousness of it, because the heart of man, Bible says that controls all the issues of life. That thing we call the heart of man, that heart of man can house God, can house spirits, can house eternity. That's why the word of God is for your heart. Because your heart can house the word of God. It's a very serious thing. You know, we just look, when you look at a fellow man, this is what makes a fellow man precious to God, because of the fabric with which he was made. It's not a natural skin, natural hair. No. It's the heart of man. It's made in a way, Bible says that he has set eternity in their hearts. That's why you can dream. You can imagine. Dogs don't imagine. Animals don't imagine. As it happens, they are moving. As it's going, they are going. You understand? They don't imagine. The ability to have eternity in your heart. Eternity in your heart. It's amazing. How do we have eternity in our hearts? Bible says he has set eternity in their heart. So Jesus says, he said, take it to yourself. The word take it to yourself means be careful. Watch yourself. He said, take it to yourselves, lest at any time your heart be overcharged. Deuteronomy 11, verse 16. He said, take it to yourselves that your heart be not deceived. You see, as he keeps telling the people to take it to themselves and their heart. There's something about the human heart. He said, watch yourself and your heart, so that it is not deceived. The word deceived there means enticed. Take it to yourself, and that your heart be not enticed, and that you turn aside and serve other gods and worship them. You see, there's something about your heart. Your heart speaks. And I'm not talking about your mind. Your heart speaks. You know, we were trained to believe that, and it's because of our natural balance. We were trained to believe that it is only sound that can communicate words. It is not like that spiritually. For example, if I wanted to say something and I don't put sound to it, you never know. It's a natural thing. It's not like that spiritually. What made God overthrow the devil? The devil did not go and confront God. I would say he said in his heart. See, check your heart. Always. Always. What is getting to your heart? What is getting to your heart? Okay, let's say something Jesus said. So Jesus is speaking. Let's go to the book of Luke. Well, we can use Matthew 6, Verse 30. He says, wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? All right. Take no thought saying. It's supposed to be take no thought thinking. But it's not take no thought thinking. It says, take no thought saying. Your heart speaks. Take no thought saying. Always watch what's getting into your heart. Something funny happened a few days ago. I was recording something, and you'll see very soon. It's I'm recording a podcast. So very soon you'd see it. It's called The Word in Your Home. Yeah. Praise God. Aside the things I'll share, I'll also take questions and I'll address them at the Word of God, of course. So I was recording and I was asked the question. So I was answering the question on, and it's something I like to do is, because like I watch football, I like to watch football. And sometimes because of church, I'm not able to watch the games live. So sometimes I go and listen to these YouTubers who comment on the game. And there's one I really love. He does a lot of ranting. And if you understand football, it's sometimes nice to see, you know, like your team lost and the guy is ranting, you know. It's like, so the guy likes to say, that's one hell of a thing. I didn't know it has entered me. I'm recording the podcast. I said, that did a hell of, I'm like, what? I said, stop it. Hell of what? How did hell enter my language? You know, somebody would do that and carry on. No. The spiritual man, Bible says that you may prove. I have to prove. How did this enter my language? I'm not supposed to have hell in my language. One heaven of a thing. You see, how did hell enter my language? And there's no generation that's more at risk of things like this than this generation because of the era in which you are. It's an information generation. Now, you see, I'm in my quiet era. I'm in my foolishness era. You know, to the extent that they have, I am in my whole face. What are you saying? You've not heard it before. Yeah, so people say they're in their whole face. That the face of their life that they're supposed to. Like fam, ho. If you don't understand, take it whatever you understand. Yeah. No, so there are different languages that are coming out, right? And let me tell you this. Sometimes when something appears online, it doesn't appear suggestive. It appears very authoritative. You have to check it. You have to watch it. Doesn't make it truth. That's why you need to know the truth. Because they never are suggesting to you. They are telling you what is. But they have a problem when we say the Bible is. You see, they're never suggestive. They try to portray that things should be suggestive while being objective. I don't know if you get what I'm trying to say. They try to say things should be suggestive, like I can decide what I am, what I identify as. Well, meanwhile, the statement you're making is objective. Can I disagree with you? No, I cannot disagree with you. You call me, I'm gaslighting you. Now, since that word gaslighting came, the slightest thing you are being gaslighting. If it's to go by what you people are saying, when you read the Bible, you think there are so many gaslighting questions in there. If it's by what you are saying, you see, all these language, when you find some of them entering your language, you have to check it. How did I say hell of a thing? I've never sat down to add that to my vocabulary. I just got into my language. How did I start talking like this? And it's a simple thing. Because I'm listening to something. My ear gate. Got in through my ear gate. The guy's talking about football. He's not cussing. He's just ranting about football. And I thought, I think it's wholesome in a sense. But some things have crept in without me knowing. So I have to check them and take them out of my language. I can't be using that. I'm preaching in church one day. I said, oh, what hell of a... Did you get it? You get yourself, you catch yourself thinking the wrong thoughts, you stop it. You stop it. In fact, let me even take you a bit further. Do you know that the Spirit of God guiding you also depends on the Word of God in you? Let's look at it. John 14, 25. These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. See, so these things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. Next verse. He says, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. So the Holy Spirit guides you through remembrance. So, did you just see that? Did you just see that?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. He says, he will bring to your remembrance the things I have said unto you. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2 again. Verse 10. So he says, but God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things. For the Spirit, look at it, but God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things. God hath revealed by his Spirit, for the Spirit searches. So the way the Spirit reveals is by searching. So he says, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. So that means the Spirit of God is God's Google. So when there's something you're praying about, something you are asking the Lord about, the Lord wants to answer you, the Spirit of God will come and conduct a search. Because he's trying to answer you. He conducts a search. Searches, and the answer to what you are looking for is maybe, you know, love is patient. Once there's no information, the Spirit will keep searching. It will be as though God does not want to guide you. No, it's because you don't have enough of the Word of God for him to use to guide you. So putting the Word inside you is so key to your Christian walk. That's why I said, the subject of guidance and the will of God, it's not for very new Christians. Very new Christians will require some guidance in being guided. So we've talked about the priority of the Word. We've talked about the integrity of the Word. That means the Word is infallible. And we've talked about the spirituality of the Word. A young lady came to ask me a question. And she was asking, Pastor, what shows that the Bible is the Word of God? Well, very, very important question. What shows it's the Word of God? You need to study it a bit to understand the coherence. Like when I taught about the gap theory during the all night. You see, scripture is very coherent in the thought, the ideas, and the storyline. You have to understand those things to know that this is actually the Word of God. But in explaining that to her, I taught her something. I said, there are certain stories in the Bible that you see today. But because they are just stories, when you read them, you just think they are stories. But then the Old Testament is filled with quotes. The stories are quotes. You see, the kind of intelligence there will only take, you know, the Jews don't ask those questions. You know why? Because of the kind of intelligence with which the scriptures are written. Your English language almost dilutes everything. For example, it's when you start studying the Hebrew, you realize that every 50 words, if you use the, in every 50 words, when you use the first letters of every 50 words, throughout Genesis, you'll be counting Christ throughout. Yeah, I say your English just destroys everything. But it's necessary, we need to read that as well. It's deeper than you think. Well, let's go ahead. So I was explaining something and I brought her to something. Go to Genesis. I want to show you something in Genesis 48. I'll start reading from verse 10. I'm talking about the spirituality of the word. You would see God's mind through the word. God's mind through the word. That's what we mean when we say it is spiritual. God's mind. Not carnal, you know, interpretations into the word. We are looking at forms. Oh, a crown, you know. I'm imagining a crown, heaven, gold. And all our imaginations are by reason of what we have seen before. You see, what we have seen before. You know, like somebody said, for example, you know, people believe so much. They believe so much. People said they went to heaven, they went to hell. Rubbish. Yes. Oh, Pastor, what if they went? That's their business. Everything I accept about heaven is what the word has said. You know, there's some people who never attend some churches because they heard somebody say that she went to hell and she saw. Did you know that? Do you know that even if God guided you concerning something and said something to you, do you know that you are at liberty to ask God to give you a scripture for it? And he will. If he doesn't, you can decide not to follow it. I'm shocked. All right. So Genesis 48, you're going to see the spirituality of the word. Now the eyes of Israel were dim. Who is he talking about? Jacob. Can we read it together? Okay. So this is Jacob. Jacob is in Egypt now. Joseph is prime minister. Jacob is in Egypt. Now the eyes of Jacob or Israel were dim for age so that he could not see. And he brought them near unto him and he kissed them and raised them. Who are the two people? Joseph brought Ephraim and Manasseh to Jacob. So when he brought Ephraim and Manasseh, Bible says that he kissed them and embraced them. Next verse. Verse 11 says, and Israel said unto Joseph. Now, there's a reason. Always know that in Genesis, he was called Jacob, Jacob, Jacob. In verse 48, in fact, even in the midst of this story, it was not Israel he was called. In just a few chapters away, he's still called Jacob, even when they went into Egypt. But in chapter 48, he's being called Israel because something is about to happen. Did you understand the word? He's called Israel now because something is about to happen. He says, and Israel said unto Joseph, I have not thought to see thy face, And lo, God had showed me also thy seed. And Joseph brought them out from between his knees, and he bowed himself with his face to the earth. Oh, Joseph respected his father so much. He brought the two children to, because of the spiritual significance of what is about to happen. So let me show you what's about to happen. First, we have to go to 1 Chronicles chapter 5, verse 1. Now, he says, now the sons of Reuben, the firstborn of Israel, for he was firstborn, but for as much as he defiled his father's bed, his birthright was given unto the sons of Joseph. The son of Israel. And the genealogy is not reckoned after the birthright. What's he saying? He's saying that the sons of Reuben, the firstborn of Israel, Reuben was the firstborn, but he defiled his father's bed. So he says it was taken from him and was given to the sons of Joseph, or it was taken to Joseph. So something happens. Go back to Genesis. Verse 12. I hope you understand everything I'm talking about. Yeah, you understand it. And Joseph brought them out from between his knees, and he bowed himself with his face to the earth. Next verse. And Joseph took them both, Ephraim in his right hand, and towards Israel's left hand, and Manasseh in his left hand, toward Israel's right hand, and brought them near unto him. And Israel stretched out his right hand. And now remember that this man is blind. Remember, this man is blind and he cannot see. But Manasseh is here. Ephraim is here. Bible says, and Israel stretched out his right hand and laid it upon Ephraim's head, who is supposed to be here, who was the younger, and his left hand upon Manasseh's head, guiding his hands wittingly, for Manasseh was the firstborn. So Jacob does this. Meanwhile, he's supposed to do this. But he does this. He cannot see. Verse 15. And he blessed Joseph and said, God, before whom my fathers Abraham and Isaac did walk. Oh boy. And God, which fed me all my life long unto this day. One day you pray like this. Say, God, who took care of me all my life until this day. Next verse. And the angel which redeemed me from all evil, Kai. You know, there's nothing like an encounter when you meet God for yourself. When you know God for yourself. This man, Esau was going to kill him. Esau swore that I was going to kill him. That night, obviously Jacob was left alone. And then an angel appeared to him. The angel did not even make mention Esau's case. Yet by the time he was approaching Esau broke. He said, the angel which redeemed me from all evil. Then he says, bless the lads. And let my name be named upon them, and the name of my fathers, Abraham and Isaac. And let them grow into a multitude in the midst of the earth. And when Joseph saw that his father laid his right hand upon the head of Ephraim, it displeased him. And he held up his father's hand to remove it from Ephraim's head onto Manasseh's head. You know, when Joseph saw how he has just turned the hand like this, he was like, nah, that's not how they do it. You know, sometimes, you see, a seeing son is still not as accurate as a blind father. Joseph said, no, I know how the thing works. No. No. He was not happy because you know that but Jacob too has learned by experience That, it's not like that. Let's go. And Joseph said unto his father, not so, my father. Can you imagine? The son telling the father, not so, my father. Not so, my father. It's not like that. Not so, my father. My father, for this is the firstborn. Put thy right hand upon his head. Not so. Oh, I love Jacob's answer. And his father refused and said, I know it, my son. I know it. I know it. I might not see, but I know it. I know it, my son. He said, he also shall become a people and also shall be great. But truly, his younger brother shall be greater than he, and his seed shall become a multitude of nations. And he blessed them that day, saying, indeed shall Israel bless, saying, God make thee as Ephraim and as Manasseh. And he set Ephraim before Manasseh. Okay, now this is very powerful. But then the understanding, the spiritual understanding is in there. What just happened? Now Jacob is there. Ephraim is put on the left, Manasseh is on the right. He's supposed to do this and set Manasseh before Ephraim. But by the Spirit, especially because he was blind, by the Spirit, he moves his hand this way and begins to bless him. Now Joseph says no. Now remember that the birthright was taken from Reuben and given to Ephraim and Manasseh. Exodus 4:22. And thou shalt say unto Pharaoh, thus saith the Lord, Israel is my son, even my firstborn. So this is what was happening. Manasseh there was Israel. Ephraim there was the church. These two will come out of Israel. Naturally, Israel came first. The church came second. Now, if God wanted to just make Jacob bless Ephraim before Manasseh, maybe Ephraim would have been on the right. And Manasseh would have been on the left. There was no need to cross his hand because it's the cross that makes the exchange. It was at the cross the exchange happened. The word is spiritual. Lift your hand and thank the Lord. You see, the Bible does not have a mate. Usually, it's because of natural man. They don't understand. Many years after, God was going to make that exchange at the cross. And he made Jacob cross his hands. The word is spiritual. Point number four, the immortality of the word. Thank you, Lord. Before that, let's look at the thoughts. Let's look at the thoughts. Genesis 1, verse 16. Genesis 1, verse 16. He says, and God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day, and the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also. God made two great lights. The greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night. Now, when you look at this, you'd say the greater light he's talking about there is the sun and the moon. But it's beyond that. It's beyond the sun and the moon. It's God that made two great lights. It's God that made those two great lights. He called them great lights. Said the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night. Go to Psalm 136. I'll start reading from verse 7. To him that made great lights, for his mercy endureth forever. The sun to rule by day, for his mercy endureth forever. The moon and the stars to rule by night, for his mercy endureth forever. Now, when we talk about the which one is the greater light, then we should go to the book of Peter. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 17. I'll start from verse 17. He said, for he received from God the Father honor and glory. Now, Peter is talking about when, during the transfiguration, they saw the Lord. He says, for he received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory. This is my beloved Son, whom I am well pleased. Now, they had a very great encounter with the Lord. All right. Moses and Elijah appeared. All right, go ahead. And this voice, which came from heaven, we heard when we were with him in the Holy Mount. We also have a more sure word of prophecy. Whereunto you do well that ye take heed as unto a light that shineth in a dark place until the day dawn and the day start rising in hearts. What's he talking about? Now he says, no, go back. Yeah. We also have a more sure word of prophecy. Now we are looking at the greater light and the lesser light. We also have a more sure word of prophecy whereunto you do well to take heed as unto a light. Now, anytime the Bible talks about light, light is also referring to truth. Now, he says over here, he's now using light to explain the same thing. He says, we also have more sure word of prophecy. Whereunto you do well that you take heed as unto a light that shines in a dark place. Now, remember that the lesser light shines in a dark place. Hey, are you here? You're going home. The lesser light shines in a dark place. Now, the moon only comes at night. So the lesser light shines in a dark place. It says, you do well that you hold on to that light as a light that shines in a dark place. It says, what? Until the day dawn and the day start rising hearts, until the greater light comes. Okay. Now, take heed. What he calls the lesser light over here that says, unto a light that shines in a dark place, is the experience they had. So prophecy, all right? So when you go to verse 20, he's talking about the same thing. In verse 20, he said, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the scripture is of private interpretation. So he's looking at, first of all, the prophecy, the encounter, those things, he says, they are lesser lights. And they are the light you hold in a dark place. So let's use the moon and the sun to understand this. The moon is the lesser light that is shining in a dark place. So for example, it's like something bad is going on in your life. Then someone gives you a prophecy. That prophecy is that light that is shining in a dark place. I hear you're going home. So that prophecy is that light that is shining in a dark place. He says, you will hold on to that prophecy till the day dawn, until the greater light comes. Now, the greater light is what is now saying, that no prophecy of scripture is of private interpretation. Scripture is a greater light. That word you receive is a lesser light. Why? Because the sun gives light to the moon. So, if the prophecy is not taking its light from scripture, it's false. And it's a scripture that brings light or brings a prophecy. But the prophecy is not the ultimate light. So that's why people go, you know, they have different meetings and a prophet comes and prophesies to them and say, oh, this is going to happen in your life. This is going to happen in your life. They will sit down for donkey years, nothing's going to happen. That's going to happen in your life. Because if something's going to happen, he says, even that prophecy, you're supposed to hold on to it until the day dawn. The day has to dawn. The day has to dawn. That means the greater light of scripture will have to dawn. And that's what happens when we meditate. You see, you need to see yourself in Scripture. You need to see yourself in Scripture. Don't be jumping around. Don't be jumping around, entering every prayer meeting. Yeah, there are people like that. There are people like that. I remember, you know, there was one lady, and they become so gullible, and the devil takes advantage of it when we're on campus. You know, we were praying. She was praying somewhere. Then one guy came, used prophecy. By the time we realized, this lady is doing things on the field. She came, she was just praying. Someone came and said, I see, the Lord has made you like a queen. A queen of giving her all sorts of prophecies. All prophecies. And she believed. By the time we realized, the guy was telling her, do this. I've shared this story before. I'm just giving you the context. And the guy was speaking in tongues, some very strange tongues, and said, boom, laka, laka, laka. Listen, myself and Pastor Marvin, we physically beat the guy. We physically beat him. Then the girl came to herself. She came to herself. She thanked us, eh? She doesn't know what came over her. Boom. Now, how do Christians get into those kind of things? Because they are looking for something that's not there. When I was teaching on spirit of error, I told you, I said some people say there's more in God. They are not looking for God. They are not looking for something weird. They want to go deeper. And how to know they are not looking for God is that if they see an angel, they'll be fine. Yeah, they're not looking for God. They are deceiving themselves. They're not looking for, there's more in God. There's more in God. Then they would, I'm not against fasting. I fast. So I'm not against fasting. At least you know here that we fast like, you know. Last year we had 21 days fasting. But, you know, what's the focus? They go into the mountains. They said they're going to fast for 40 days. They want to see the Lord. They will collapse. Think about it. Why is it that when Jesus appeared, you know, in Jerusalem, when he arose from the dead, I thought that he would have just saved us all this stress by just appearing to the Pilate and the rest. Let's save the whole story. Because I think that's my advice. That, of course, very foolish advice, but just appear and Pilate said, guys, I'm here. I did not die, you know. I'm back, you know, all that. Appearing unto everybody. He appeared to disciples and he ascended. Why didn't he appear to everybody? Because if they believe because he appeared to everybody, he will have to appear to us. That means anybody who gets born again, he has to come. I'm here. But blessed are they who have not seen and yet believe.
Hallelujah.
So let me tell you this, just so you know, if you have been on that quest, Jesus has not promised us that. He has not promised us that he will appear to us. I know people preach all those kind of things. I've had my experience, my encounters. Some of the people who preach those, they've not seen anything. I know they'll preach and say, no, you must see the Lord. You know, sometimes when you don't see the Lord. No, he did not promise us that. The word should be enough.
Yes, sir.
The word should be enough. Be looking for something that's not there. There are people who are mad today because they were looking for the Lord. Yeah, because the devil will get in. And one thing about the Lord, I've realized that you can't move God. Have you seen a lady that's trying to, you know, get a guy before? And then the guy will also, you know, move. She thinks that she got the guy. The guy will eye you since. You're on the rate. So most of the time, when it comes to those encounters, you did not move God. He has been planning. In fact, he put in the desire. People don't understand that. God will put the desire for you to, you know, want something like that, then it will happen. Why? Because if without that desire, it will be illegal for God to intrude. So God will come and just drop the desire there. Then you now desire. Then something like that will happen. But what God has for all of us, it doesn't mean he loves this person more and God loves this person less. No, his word is enough. His word is him. To meditate on the word of God is to meditate on God. Don't be looking for what's not there. Looking for what's not there. Pastor, I saw 14 angels. My friend, what does that have to do with me? Pastor, I had a dream. Rapture had happened. You don't know it will happen. I don't know. And many of you were posting that verse, and then people were afraid because you heard someone's voice note about rapture, you are now afraid. Are we not going to your country? I'm not going to your country. Why are you afraid? So Christians, the early church, they had a way they greeted each other. They actually mixed two languages because they didn't want the world to know what they were talking about. That's how they greeted themselves. Even so, come Lord Jesus. They despised the world so much that they wanted to be with the Lord only. They meet themselves and say, Maranatha. Maranatha. They were expecting the Lord. They were expecting the Lord. About 50 years ago, a great woman of God, when she realized she was about to die and that Jesus had not come, she started crying. Said, I wish I'll meet you in the sky too. But I'll see you soon. I'm looking forward to seeing the Lord. I'm looking forward to meeting the Lord. That's how Christians are supposed to be, looking forward to meeting the Lord. But they hear rapture. Hey. So all of you who are having bitterness, why are you having bitterness? So it took rapture for you to reconcile. All the 1 Corinthians 13 have been... Boom. All the 1 Corinthians 13 have been using. It didn't get anybody's attention. Until it took someone's voice note of rapture. And let me tell you, most of the people, if you go and check, those who were in bitterness before the voice note, they are bitter with somebody else now. Because the Bible says fear is a torment. Let me tell you this. People who get born again out of fear, they always go back. Hell. That week. And let me tell you what happens. Afterward, they become more hardened. Yeah, I got born again, the real born again. I got born again twice. The first one was out of fear. Out of fear, they say, there's one spirit, something. I just say, they said, the person said, you have put me in a shitter bottle. So I'm in a shitter bottle. I was so scared. When I'm sleeping that night, and around that same week, someone in my secondary school committed suicide. So Gideon's free not to be sold under my bed. We'll be waking up at dawn. We are thinking he's around. And if you ever seen things like that, there's this tension. Everybody was so afraid. Yeah. You know, so I'm there and afraid. In fact, I even started preaching to my friends. I'm not so sure what I was preaching, but I started going to my friends and said, no, the Lord is coming. The Lord is coming. The Lord is coming. Boy. And there was this guy too. He was also, you know, one of the bad guys in school. He also got born again around that same time because he almost had an accident. And he didn't have it again. He came back. He said, he now is born again because this life is not settled for anybody. It's not settled for anybody. No, you know, from today, he's born again. 2 weeks later, I saw him at entertainment. The dance he was doing, I can't do it here. I said, John Jay. Now, I'm also in my fear era at that time. I'm also, you know, thinking, am I now out of the bottle? What time will I come out of the bottle? If I'm righteous enough, I'll come out of the bottle. How long will I keep in the bottle? As I prayed, let me tell you the next thing I went to do. I went to go and see a spiritualist. They were in the school. The guy now took me to the person. He gave me something to bath with. You see, it was not God. It was fear. I was afraid. I was not after God. I just wanted to be out of the bottle. And at that time, we were in school, and every time the shitter is in the bottle. So, you know, when you look at shitter bottle, that you say you are inside. And trust me, at that time, when you look at my life, I really look like I'm in a bottle. Yeah. You see, you know, because my life is full of heat. You know what I mean? Fear. I was so afraid. The guy gave me something to bath with. After bathing with it, do you know that I believe that more than I believe that my Gideon's Bible? That also, you know, we enter the spirituality of the word. You see, people think the Bible, you know, it's in the book. You know, when something is, they have a bad dream, they just take their Bible and put it around a canal, see, co-canality. Canality. No. The word of God in your mouth, that's what makes the difference. That's the sword of the Spirit. Then, I started preaching to some of my friends. God will come soon. God will come soon. God will come soon. Give me small time. Came after I was back to factory settings. I was back. But you know what? I think I was really close to being born again because less than a month later, I actually got born again. This one not, yeah. This one not out of fear. Not out of fear. In fact, the sense of love overwhelmed me. Because I thought I was so bad. I'm going to take this thing from this spiritualist. I've bathed with it. I've done this. I thought I'm so bad. And those times, you know, to speak in tongues, it was my father them's, my dad, when he comes with his friends. And they are I'll pray and go, you know, like, yeah, they are speaking in tongues. I'm like, hey, this is bull, you know. I felt like this was one time I even tried to mimic them, and nothing came out. You know, I just wow. So I thought, of course, I knew that speaking in tongues is for like serious Christians. But the day I got born again, I spoke in tongues. I was so overwhelmed. I'm like, really? God gave me this thing? Like, I'm a bad boy. Oh, then I started crying. You see, now I was not afraid. I was in love. You see, I was not afraid anymore. But actually, so that drove me. When I came back home, I wanted to tell everybody. I wanted to tell my friends. I wanted to tell everybody that, do you know what just happened to me? I just got born again and I spoke in tongues. I just got born again. I was telling everybody. The sense of love overwhelmed me. We are not going to live our life because we are afraid what will happen in hell. No, but God's sense of love at work in our hearts, that's what's guiding us. The word is spiritual. So the power is not in the book. The power is in what gets into our heart and what comes out of our mouth. Romans chapter 10. You see, the word of God in your heart makes the difference. The word of God in your mouth makes the difference. Oh, yes, Lord. Verse 9, the answer is there. He said that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thy heart. So it's the believing in your heart. When the word gets into your heart and the word comes out of your mouth, it makes a difference. It makes a difference. It makes a difference. Oh boy, it makes a difference. The word in your heart and the word in your mouth. If you've been going through, you know, some series of things, you know, that are making you unstable, you have to get the word inside you. Now, in that podcast I recorded, I talked about it in detail. You know, the meditative process. Meditation. You see, even though we are seeing a lot of technology around, God's ways are not technological. God's ways are mechanical. Very mechanical. Prayer till today is still mechanical. Meditation is still mechanical. Studying the word is still mechanical. There's no new way of doing it. That is to get inside. Still mechanical. Yes. There's an old hymn. I just don't really like the choice of the words, some of the words in there. But I like the sense, you know. Because if you don't think like that, you are far from walking with God. Like the old ancient methods. The old ancient methods. Prayer. Looking for a place to pray. You see, looking for a place to meditate on the word. Make sure you meditate on the word. Get a scripture. You can use the same scripture. Never dry. Never fainting. Ever prosper. Ever. Those old ways, go back to them. Go back to those old ways. We have to go back to those old ways. That hymn, I know they use religion in it, but I know what they are talking about. Give me that old time religion. Give me that old time religion. Give me that old time religion. Yes, it's good enough for me. Give me that old time religion. Give me that old time religion. Give me that old time religion. Yes, it's good enough for me. It was good for Paul and Silas. It was good for Paul and Silas. It was good for Paul and Silas. Yes, it's good enough for me. You see, I'm a young man, I'm a young preacher, but I believe in the old methods. You don't improve on truth. You don't improve on truth. That's why you see a lot of young preachers today. Young guys, they are trying to edit the Bible and correct the Bible. No, you know, there's no modern truth, my brothers. There's no modern truth, my sisters. Stick with the old time one. Now, what word can we put in place of that religion? You know, what word can we put? Who can suggest something? Let's change it. Okay, give me the ancient landmarks. Give me the ancient landmarks. Give me the ancient landmarks. Yes, it's good enough for me. Give me the ancient landmarks. Give me the ancient landmarks. Give me the ancient landmarks. Yes, it's good enough for me. You know, the Bible talks about a great while before the day, Jesus will stand up and go and pray. You see, you keep to it. You keep to it. Don't manufacture a new one. Keep to it. Give me the ancient landmarks. Give me the ancient landmarks. Give me the ancient landmarks. Yes, it's good enough for me. Oh, lift your hand and pray. I want us to lift your hand and pray. Go la ba la ba 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 shi la ba la ba 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 sha. Go ra da da ba 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 so de me ne me di ya da 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 ba da da ba shika.